The book of Hebrews, after spending 12 chapters going through that wonderful chapter on the heroes of faith, and the 11th chapter opening the 12th, wherefore seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of martyrs, literally, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, ye having yet resisted unto blood, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, Phidea in the Greek, child trains. Be not like that profane person Esau. Profane mean not discerning the true nature of spiritual things. And then it comes to those wonderful verses everybody loves to quote, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And then it says three things. Two of them we emphasize a lot. Giving. Just keep on koinonia, giving. And obey those that have rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Put on the whole armor of God. You say, I don't know how. Okay? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Finally, be strong, endued in the Lord and in the might of the strength of Him. I don't know how to do that. Well, God gave you some who do. God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. I've told you many times, there are only two kinds of people in the Christian community. Those like Paul who follow Christ, and those that fall into the category of those to whom he said, follow me as I follow Christ. There ain't no other middle ground. You either are one of those out on point people who gets it, has such a gift from God, the word opens up. You have a duty, therefore, to be a domata and perfect saints and lead them and say what I'm saying, follow me as I follow Christ. You have only one decision to make if you're a follower. Is the one you're following, following Christ? You follow him by his word. Nobody followed him better than Paul. And no one was given the message that saved the gospel and perpetuated the church like Paul. You have the ability to figure out, I've been learning ever since I've been here for 18 years. I don't think even my worst critic doubts my dedication to finding the truth and following it. God assigned you here, then follow me as I follow Christ. If you don't know how to solve the problem in this battle, if I'm leading you and you're following me into a world conflict, and you don't know how, and you're stumbling around being knocked around, then you don't have to know how if you'll do what I say. Just obey. In spiritual matters. Obey. Let me show you what obedience accomplished. Even the news media and the world shouldn't criticize you if you pattern after the Jesuits. They're the most respected, powerful religious organization of the largest church in the world. And by the way, folks, the Catholics are winning. The Protestants aren't doing anything to match what the Catholics are doing. Show me a Protestant preacher that can get a crowd matching the Pope on any continent. Well, the Pope's men, more than anyone else, brought them to this state. I pulled out my old religious encyclopedia out of print. They never have printed one to match it. It's a collector's item. The new Schaffer-Herzog Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge. It's dated. But the Jesuits were older than it, so they're pretty accurate on that. The Jesuits, Societas Jesuit, Company of Jesus, is the most widespread of all the religious orders founded in modern times. The Constitution, Societatis Jesu, having been approved by Paul III, Julius III, and Paul IV, and commended after careful examination by the Council of Trent, the Catholic Church's reaction to the Protestant Reformation, was again emphatically approved and confirmed by Gregory XIII, February 1582, and printed in Rome in 1583. There are three levels. Scholars take the three ordinary vows. Including obedience and celibacy, and promise to enter the higher ranks of service if the glory of God should require it. Coadjutors or helpers, whether in spiritual or in temporal things, take only the same. Their promotion to the ranks of the professed depends on their faithfulness and efficiency in the things committed to them. The professed, or members of the inner circle who possess the secrets of the order and from whom the officers are chosen, take in addition to these vows a special vow to the Pope. I've been asking this church as I came seeking the uncommon man to make your commitments to Christ. And if this is the place you get your leadership and spiritual food, tithe your money and your time. Be faithful to those commitments. The rest of your work, God will put His blessing on it. You apply the principles to whatever you do, because that's the Lord's work also, but you're in charge of those little domains. But the professed, now we move to the level of staff. The members of the inner circle who possess the secrets of the order. In our case, staff and from whom the officers are chosen, take in addition to these vows a special vow to the Pope that they will journey without argument or parleying and without asking for traveling expenses, whithersoever he, the Pope, may order, whether among believers or unbelievers. The fourth class is made up of those whose position in the order has not yet been determined, but who are in readiness to enter into either grade that the superior may direct. A period of probation, novitiate, usually lasting for 2 years, in which the candidate is trained in obedience and thoroughly tested as regards aptitude, mental, physical, moral, and spiritual for the purposes of the order, precedes entrance into any of the grades mentioned. Inquiry is made of each candidate whether he has ever been separated from the church by reason of denial of the faith or falling into errors or into schism, whether he has perpetrated homicide or become infamous on account of enormous sins, whether he has belonged to another order, whether he has been bound with a chain of matrimony or servitude, whether he is afflicted with poor judgment. you're going to find why they took the world with their methods in their day, and yet never, ever penetrated as we're penetrating right now. Affirmative answers to these questions disqualify for admission. They're guilty of any of those things. None of Jesus' disciples could have been a Jesuit. So they start with a pretty high quality. Obviously, men who could have done something else. Careful inquiry is further to be made respecting name, age, birthplace, legitimacy of birth, religious character of ancestors, names, occupations, and worldly condition of parents, and similar inquiries about brothers and sisters. But some of you, under the blood of Christ, have all those things buried and can start all over. Whether he's under obligation to marry, whether he has any son, whether he's in debt or has civil liabilities, whether he has a trade, can read and write, whether he has any disease, has received ecclesiastical ordination, is under a vow, what have been his habits of religious devotion, reading, and meditation. If you don't want this inquiry, don't try to be a Jesuit. Whether he entertains any religious opinions different from those of the church, whether he's ready to leave the world and to follow the counsels of our Lord Jesus Christ, as uttered through the Pope, whether he fully purposes to live and die in the society, and when, where, and by whom was he first moved to take this position. The answers expected these inquiries are manifest. The candidate is required to relinquish his possessions. I don't think that's necessary for the kingdom. The tithe is. Because God wants to bless you. This is commitment, friends. The candidate is... They're women. The candidate is required to relinquish his possessions, if not immediately, at latest after 1 year. Isn't it funny the media never questions this? Contact, intercourse with relatives, not talking about sex, communication of any kind, with relatives is restricted and practically prohibited. I'm telling you, the Catholics know how to do it right. He must agree to have all his defects and errors pointed out to him. You're going to squirm for him, done. He must submit to training in the spiritual exercises, written by Loyola, and spend a month doing menial work in a hospice and another month traveling as a mendicant. For the rest of the 2 years of probation, many other tests are applied, the aim being to make the candidate as a corpse or a staff in the hands of his superior. The candidate must express a willingness to become a secular coadjutor, must express a willingness to do whatever his superiors may determine to be for the greater glory of God, and to be willing in all things to submit his own feeling and judgment to that of the society. For coadjutors and scholars, the two lowest levels, a still further testing of absolute obedience and requisite efficiency is done. The body of the work of the Constitution consists of 8 books. Part 1 treats of admission to probation. Reminds me of going to Stanford University. Sitting there hoping to earn a scholarship the first quarter. And this arrogant professor came in and looked at all of us. said, "We know you can pass classes, get grades, or you wouldn't be here. But you're not going to get a Ph.D. from Stanford in this school. Granted by this university, just because you can pass classes and grades. We know you can do that, or you wouldn't have been admitted." And he pointed a big map on the wall that had pins in it like this. He said, "See that? Those are the Ph.D. graduates from this school." He began to reel them off. Leaders. Leaders in industry, leaders in government, presidents of universities, leaders in every area of life. So that's our Ph.D. graduates. We want that reputation continued. Therefore, no more than 3% of you sitting in front of me will be here a year from now. No more than 3% of you are going to make it. And be admitted as a candidate for a Ph.D. Right now, you're a candidate to be a candidate. And it's our job, for our sake and your sake, to see to it that we eliminate that 97% of you that can't make it as fast as possible. I sat back there and said, "You son of a buck, you. I'll be here." I was. I don't think I'm on their map anywhere. I'll bet I am. I was their cover story on the cover of their alumni magazine, the issue after Gorbachev. Admission to probation. To the general belongs the final decision as to whether an applicant shall be accepted or rejected. Part two pertains to dismissing those who have been received on probation and proved unfit. Part three treats the training and promoting of those who remain in probation. The cultivation of all the mental, moral, and spiritual elements that are considered desirable, and especially of prompt and cheerful obedience, are described in detail. Part four treats of the education of the members in education as a means of influence upon those that are without. The ultimate aim of all educational effort was evidently to gain an absolute mastery over the pupil and the devotion of his powers to the purpose and purposes of the society. Part five treats of the things that pertain to admission into the body of the society, that is, to the rank of the possessed, or rather professed. Only those are to be admitted to the professed into the inner circle who have manifested the possession in a high degree of the gifts and graces, the acquisitions, the enthusiasm, the efficiency, the absolute devotion to the interests of the order that the system was designed and adapted to produce. Out of this body comes the officials. Part six deals with the demeanor and duties of the professed, the highest level. The utmost stress is laid upon obedience. Part 7 treats the things that pertain to the distribution of the professed throughout the Lord's vineyard. for the good of mankind. Their obligation to go without questioning wherever the Pope or the general may direct, and to devote themselves unsparingly to the accomplishment of whatever task may be assigned, is much emphasized. Part 8, methods employed. 9, functions and authority of the general. And part 10 treats of the manner in which the whole body of the society may be conserved and increased in its good estate. Now down to the nubbin. Ignatius Loyola's tract on the, quote, on the virtue of obedience stands side by side with the spiritual exercises and the Constitution as one of the foundation books of the society. It's a letter of less than 4,000 words, written in April 1553 by Ignatius Loyola to the brethren of the Society of Jesus who are in Lusitania. He wishes his brethren, while being perfect in all spiritual gifts and ornaments, to be preeminent, this is the key to the Jesuits, preeminent in the virtue of obedience. I've already said he placed his obedience in the wrong place. Lytle Moody said, heard somebody say, as I said the other night, as he sat in a service, God is yet to see. And the world is yet to see what can be done through one man wholly committed to him. Well, God saw it in Paul. But Moody determined to be that man. And without what we have, if he had had what we have today, he would have shook the world. If he was sitting here, he would have shook the whole world. So can we. Obedience to the Word. Faith incarnate. To be preeminent in the virtue of obedience. Here's his tract. The only virtue that inserts the other virtues into the mind and guards those other virtues that have been inserted is obedience. While this, obedience, flourishes beyond doubt, the rest will flourish. Our salvation was wrought by him who, quote, became obedient unto death. We may the more easily suffer ourselves to be surpassed by other religious orders in fasting, vigils, and other asperity of food and clothing, which each by its own ritual and discipline holily receives. I could wish, dearest brethren, that you who serve our Lord Jesus Christ in this society should be conspicuous indeed in true and perfect obedience. An abdication of will, and especially of judgment. And for the true and germane progeny of this same society to be distinguished, as it were, by this note, obedience, that they never look upon the person himself whom they obey, but in him look upon Christ the Lord, for whose sake they obey. These words, if you don't listen closely, can easily be misunderstood. You only follow someone who follows Christ. I'm talking about putting on the whole armor of God, being endued, that you might be able to stand and withstand. Well, follow the one that follows Christ that you are committed to. As I said on Sunday, I expect different standards from staff people who made different kinds of commitments. than those of you that are the recipients of my teaching, some of whom are trying to sort out still whether or not you should get out on point and follow Christ and attach or let God's Spirit attach others who will follow you as you follow Christ, or whether you've been called to follow me as I follow Christ in this first ever world war that exposes you to cosmocratoros, world rulers of this darkness that we are penetrating as it has never been penetrated in the history of mankind, in the history of Satan's domain as prince of the power of the air. Not in obedience to the Pope, obedience to the word of faith on which you hang your body. I'm going to continue with a station break. Get on the telephone. Listen again. I could wish, dearest brethren, oil on the virtue of obedience. I could wish, dearest brethren, that you who serve our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're winning it with these cosmocratoros, man, keep on. If it works, don't fix it. But if you're getting the Kabbalah knocked out of you, maybe you better obey someone. It's volume on every continent. You know what I did today? I sent every staff person away. Because I discerned Satan wasn't going to take me on one-on-one. I know how to handle him. Satan takes me on every day in poly. He's going to lose, but just me and him. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. He knows, therefore, because I'm attached inextricably in the calling of this work to you, to staff people, to voices of faith, to Philippian band members, to king's houses, so he can get to me through you by keeping you from showing up to the cathedral, by making you not strike the connection as we interlace the territory of the prince of the air, power of the air, not only with our voice, but with two agreeing as you connect with the voices of faith here. We give him a headache, migraines every hour. He can get to me through staff people. The attack so intensifies in a massive attack, I see them just sort of being knocked around like a bowling ball has hit them. I told them all today, I says, get away from me. Let me take him on by myself long enough to get him down. And then you come on back, maybe you'll learn to fight a little better next time. Worked. If I can just tie him down. Just get out of the way and let me handle it. May not get some work done. Well, I'll kick the shillelagh out of Satan for a while. He comes as an angel of light, befogging the brains of people around me until they don't even know what the priorities are. Last night I came here and didn't have a microphone. Tonight I came here, if you heard some yelling out there before I came in, and the same person took care of the other end of the line. Didn't tell me in the 7:15 and 8:15 calls that we didn't have a sound man up there, or woman. Last night I didn't have anything to talk into. Tonight there's nobody up on the other end. I had innumerable ways to solve that problem if I were just told. I rode here with one person, and we had a wonderful conversation. He was saying, boy, it's wonderful you're getting the festival ready to go tonight. Walked in the door and was hit with that. I said, we almost made it.
This is the end of side 3. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side 4.